Welcome to The Scales of Truth with me, Tyson Harley. Hello, everybody. Good to talk to you again. It's been a little bit over a week. Wanted to try to get one wrapped up. So we'll go with it. Today's going to be a really heavy episode. Thank you for listening. This one's going to be about glyphosate and Roundup and the shenanigans thereabouts and the dangers, and try to put to rest once and for all this idea that there's no problem with it, and show you a little bit of just, you know, the social dynamics of propaganda and regulatory agencies hand in hand with those who are supposed to be regulating and this type of thing. Going to get into some pretty good specifics, so we'll do that in a little bit. Not going to talk about a lot of things first, but just thought I'd kind of... Breaking news. Yes, so we are not going to cover that in this episode. It's bad news, but it's good news. Most of that is finished, but it would make for a really long episode, and I'm not quite finished. So I'm going to break off this introductory area that I had already recorded before I went into the stuff on glyphosate. I'm going to break that off as a separate episode. So consider what I just told you, and if I mention it again, a tease for that episode. Back to regularly scheduled programming. Dip my toe into the water by doing sports. Hey, we just finished the second NFL week, and things are pretty interesting. My Chiefs are doing well. People thought they might go to Oakland, and Oakland might give them a game after week one. But remember, the Raiders are closing out their Oakland Stadium this year. So what the NFL did was let them play Denver and then Kansas City back-to-back at home. So that's the last time they'll play the Chiefs. Looked a little close there for a quarter, 10-0 Raiders, and it looked like, same old defense. And then all of a sudden, Mahomes went video game mode and scored, I think it was 311 yards in the first half, but most of that in the second quarter. No, I'm forgetting. It might have even been in a quarter. It was about 270, I believe, in the second quarter. And at one point, I can't imagine this is anything but a record. You might have heard the broadcasters say that he had six consecutive completions of over 20 yards. That's kind of a weird one to try to look up. I have tried without any luck, but usually you're on a roll, you still throw a four-yarder in there or something. Six consecutive. Now, I'm not sure they're saying that's without a drop. They may have just meant when the pass was completed, it was for over 20 yards, but he just had four touchdowns at the end of the second quarter. And into the second quarter, and four whole touchdowns. They were scoreless after quarter one, and they didn't score in the second half either. But 28-10 is all they needed. So the Chiefs are looking interesting and viable, especially that defense is looking a little bit different. As long as they can keep that margin of victory high and remember not to get lazy about that, I think they got a real chance this year. Of course, last year they had a chance too, even with that defense, if not for Dee Ford. But yeah, I think most Chiefs fans like Dee Ford and weren't killing him for that. But he's gone now, and that defense has turned over. So that's always interesting. I'll tell you what's really annoying those fans of the AFC. That is the AFC least every single year. It seems like the New England Patriots just get it easy somehow. It's like this year by week two, one team's on their third quarterback. Now, granted, that's a temporary situation, but the New York Jets were on their third quarterback. And then Miami's already looking like a dumpster fire, and they're trading one of their cornerbacks. Like, they're trying to collect draft picks in week two. Buffalo looks a little bit better, so we'll see. But for the most part, every single year, the Patriots can basically chalk up 5 out of 6 wins there, which means they only have to go 5-12 the rest of the way to get to that kind of like 10 win deal. And in so doing, you know, you win your division first. So it, then it's just a matter of seeding after that. So it's just, every year it's like the easiest division in football. It's crazy. And I said to a friend that, and I said, well, you know, I know the Chiefs have it a little easy because they've been taking care of their division the last several years, but mostly the AFC West has been a lot tougher than the other teams in the AFC East, and I don't even think it's even close. Like I said, we'll see how Buffalo is this year. The AFC lease thing is just, it's just ridiculous. Drives me crazy. Oh, another thing I wanted to mention real quick. Hadn't mentioned it last episode. It was kind of a hello back. And I said that I was going to be a co-host. That's kind of what spurred me jumping back on with my own too, with someone I know. And I didn't say the name of the show to be right. The name of it will be Chemology 411. Chemology 411, episode 0, you know, kind of back story and introduction will be dropping here before long. Entirely her podcast. I'll just try to help out and help with the fun and all that stuff. Chemology 411. It's going to be in a lot of places. So we should have fun with that. We're going to be trying to do that about once a week and try to make it pretty interactive. So we have met 4 to 5 times, been in similar circles before, but never really met a lot in person. So now we've met for, you know, hours at a time. So I think we get along pretty well and should be able to chat it up. So yeah, listen for that Chemology 411 and help us out. There's also a page on Facebook around it, or I think it right now is a closed group, but you can look for it. Also, I've got a page up, but I just started that social media page. Back when I had my old episodes in 2017, I didn't have a Facebook page. So it's not exactly super populated yet, but you can go to that page and post things and become a fan of Tyson Harley's page. I don't have a Scales of Truth Facebook page yet. It's just Tyson Harley. I don't know how I'm going to do that, so we'll see. So let's see. Otherwise, as far as football goes, I did start up fantasy football this year. First time I've done that. I've done some daily fantasy. I'll tell you what, it does kind of get you more involved with understanding the other teams. In a way, it's kind of painful because usually you can just kind of enjoy watching. You're not like, why did they give it to that, the ball to that guy? I needed him to get to the other guy because I had him, you know, so it can get kind of stressful in a different way instead of just watching to watch and evaluate the teams. But on the other hand, I feel like you probably really delve and understand those teams more. So it's pretty good, but thus far I'm not been great. Split between two different leagues. I split in the first week. I just got obliterated in the second week. So it's funny too, because you got to evaluate. There are so many experts out there. They're like, yeah, start Deshaun Watson. And part of me goes, he's playing Jacksonville. And I know Mahomes made them look not very good, but it's Jacksonville, and that's Mahomes. So I'm like, well, it is in Houston, so maybe Deshaun will score pretty well. And I leave Jimmy G, who's playing against Cincinnati, on the bench. So lost all kind of points there and had some bad luck otherwise. So, and by the way, it's funny, 25 years ago, if I'd say, oh, I'm going to listen to this guy and ask him for fantasy advice, it wouldn't mean the same thing, and it would have been kind of odd. So, the other thing that's interesting about this week in the NFL, or the current state, is all these injured quarterbacks, right? Ben Roethlisberger out for the season, Drew Brees out for the foreseeable future, getting that thumb looked at, Eli being benched. Of course, we know what's happened there. Daniel Jones is going to start, and it's about time because Eli has looked awful. Funny how quickly the Giants fans' tune changed. I'll bet you after they saw him in preseason, remember they booed Jones on draft night, but after they saw him in preseason, they're probably like, hey, this guy looks pretty good. And after they saw Eli looking horrendous the first two games, I could just about hear the New York Giants crowd, stammering for a change. And so now they have it. So we'll see what happens, because right now, you know, they got Barkley, basically one of the best backs in football, but if you're behind too much, you can't use him as much. So that'll be interesting. And we'll see what happens with those other two quarterbacks too, because now, of course, this little backstory that's been going on for some time, Kaepernick, what do you think, Kaepernick? And for me, Kaepernick is an interesting deal, right? Because it reminds me of you having an ex that you used to get, that you got along with really well. The relationship was good, but it's over. And now you're like, you know, I've done okay for myself. You know what? I'm doing pretty well. And I was good back then. We just, for whatever reason, we broke up. But I see who my ex is with now, and her boyfriend is nothing. Like, why would you want to be with him? I mean, just objectively, I'm better than that guy. I mean, I've got a good job. I'm smart. I'm funny. I'm just saying this is how you would say it, right? He's not that great looking. There's nothing great about him. So, you know, I feel like she should be back with me. Well, you know, this is the analogy for Kaepernick. It's like, you can be the better partner. You can be the better quarterback. But when a relationship is done, it's a done. And I believe that that's probably what's going to happen for Kaepernick. I don't absolutely know, but there was just so much turmoil, right? A lot of people at fault. I always looked at that situation from two sides, because as a libertarian, I'm absolutely a believer in free speech. So I'm like, come on, guys, it's not that much. He's just kneeling, right? I'm a believer in free speech. But on the other side, I always thought it was more than ironic that we're supposed to look at millionaire athletes kneeling as these heroes of individual rights, when in reality, that was a totally artificial situation, because good luck you going in the name of your company where you can be associated with them and doing something controversial and political. Good luck with that, because guess who's out the door? So for me, it was kind of interesting. The irony was that, he's standing up for free speech. It's that, well, yeah, but he literally can do that because of his elite status. So it wasn't exactly the perfect example, a shining example of a, you know, in fact, it kind of highlights when you think about it that, hey, this guy's doing something you can't. So I always thought that if the NFL had taken a stand quicker one way or the other, either one of them would have been okay. You know, the NBA knocked it down quickly, and the NBA is also otherwise good with people being pretty open about their stances. You know, be open about your stance. Do it on your own time. We don't care. You know, that was the other thing, right? Do it on your own time. Doesn't mean you got to do it in the stadium. But like I said, I wouldn't have been particularly offended, but this idea that he wouldn't have any kind of a forum if he didn't do it at the stadium was kind of silly. But again, I wasn't really offended by it, except I just found it ironic that he did it on work time when other people just simply could not do that. But neither here nor there. I don't think he's getting a job. I don't know what you guys think. I just don't think he's getting it. I think he's as good as many of those quarterbacks, and he may not be able to just jump right into the system. But say down at Jacksonville, where the defense is good and he's dynamic, you know, I like that Gardner Minshew or whatever his name is. He's looked good through 2 weeks having to jump in. But I don't know if, you know, you wouldn't take Kaepernick over him. Problem is, Kaepernick may want a lot more money than the rookie scale. So I don't know where their salary cap situation is. But Cap could fit in a lot of places. But at this point, I don't think there's a lot of blame to go around. It's just, you know what, it's over. I mean, you even sued us for money. We came to a settlement on the money. Presumably the settlement, at different times you heard it wasn't as much as was initially reported. So maybe him and, I can't think of his name, I want to say Reed, but that's not right. Anyway, his running buddy, who also kneeled. And again, I'm not really concerned about the kneeling. I'm just saying, given where that went, you know, you go to each other's house, your girlfriend's house when you break up with her and you insist on taking stuff that you had given as presents under the guise that, well, these were expensive and you wouldn't have it if I didn't buy it for you, or things that were arbitrary and she thought they were presents, you know, or you have a couple too many yelling matches on the way out, or, you know, you follow her a few times. At some point it's like, okay, well, that's done. And you can say, hey, I'm ready now. I'm in good part of my life. What do you think? Think we can get back together again? No. So, again, nobody's fault. I just think that's where it probably is with this. A last thing to touch on with the NFL, I would say, for this week is, oh, by the way, I think my Chiefs are up against Baltimore in Arrowhead, so that's going to be crazy. Also, I don't think Baker Mayfield has really looked that good, honestly. We'll see what he does, but yesterday against the Jets, yeah, he beat the forlorn Jets, but he didn't look that good. I wasn't that impressed. But anyway, that Baltimore-Kansas City game should be something, and we'll see. You know, Lamar Jackson presents a unique challenge, so the defense is, I think, better than last year. I think they're going to continue to get better, but that's going to be a game and a half. So we'll see about that. And of course, the other thing rolling with the NFL is the Antonio Brown situation. And you talk, that was the other thing that made me mad. It's like, okay, so the AFC East drops just like flies, like immediately. Please, Daddy, don't hurt us, Daddy Patriots. You know, but then all of a sudden, the Raiders, who can't get out of their own way, you know, they trade good players last year to two different teams, and both of those teams were happy to get those players, and now they're like, we don't need Antonio Brown. Who needs Antonio Brown? We can't get along. And then, of course, he goes to the flipping Patriots. I know I can't be the only one angry about that, but we'll see about these allegations, right? It's very much a he said, she said. As far as that he said, she said, the other thing, too, is that, you know, I was watching very closely the Tyreek Hill situation this summer, and I was the first one to say right up front, we don't know anything yet. In reality, very little information got put out there, and then child, you know, the welfare services person didn't put much out, and the prosecutor didn't do anything with it. So we never really knew. So you really had to hold back. And a lot of people were, you know, making that decision already coming to that conclusion, but they didn't really know. So I think, though, that the NFL, a lot of people thought, I even thought, well, you know, maybe they, since nothing went out, nothing happened. They were going to probably suspend him for 4, and then he'd appeal and get 2. You know, but I didn't expect 0, which just goes to show you there was very little evidence, because he went and talked to the NFL for 8 hours. They have a team set up and led by women attorneys, both for, you know, just perception, and I'm sure they're very good at what they do, but they're going to be motivated to make sure if there's something there that, you know, they go with it. They go with that suspension or whatever, which really makes me think they just didn't have much of anything. And the other aspect, I say that because I feel like the NFL is probably leaning towards being more lenient. Remember, players were not happy with Goodell. Well, they're never happy with Goodell. But there he had a string of really arbitrary decisions where he'd overpunish, that he'd underpunish, and this and that. And I feel like this might be a changing of policy. I think I know the reason behind that. The reason could be, don't get me wrong, during the NBA season, when every guy who could score 12 points was getting a $40 million deal, all right, some NFL players spoke up, right? And, you know, it's a different game. The roster is a lot bigger, and the season's a lot shorter. So I know that, and you know that, but the point of the matter is that some NFL players were not that happy with the kind of money being thrown around the NBA. So I think Goodell kind of has to take that into account, that these players are probably bristling a little bit. We don't need a player rebellion, and we don't need a strike. So one of the things that can make sense as to that is go back towards the idea of hey, you know, if it's not closer to something that they can actually prosecute, we're not going to punish easily, which I think is interesting. I know it was a little bit different with Kareem Hunt. It kind of like the standard change between Kareem Hunt and Tyreek Hill. Now, granted, there was no video. So I know that's a big part of it. But then you think, well, yeah, but it was a kid, and apparently his arm was broken. You know, his arm was broken, so the question is how. You can almost see Goodell just going ahead and punishing based on that without everything really coming to fruition as far as, you know, the actual facts being well known and or agreed upon. So I think it's interesting with the Antonio Brown situation. It's really a he said, she said. If you look, you know, he's got some pretty vicious tweets up there, but there are also tweets that seem to indicate, unless he's just lying through the tweets. I meant texts. You know, that, you know, she's basically trying to just come up through him and her mom help. But we don't know that. I'm just saying that they're definitely at odds. So it's certainly a he said, she said, and it seems possible that they had a relationship. I'd have to look into it more. But it's going to be a big week, right? Did they just go monster and get Antonio Brown, who looked great in his first game? He'll only get better with Tom Brady. Or they have to stick with a more pedestrian roster. A boo-hoo with Julian Edelman and with Josh Gordon et al. So we'll see what happens there. I think that'll be a big part of... Listen, the Patriots are going to be good regardless. But do they have a chance of going 14-2, 15-1 because they got Antonio Brown? That becomes a question, right? Okay, well, I think that's enough for little light topics and sports stuff. So I'm going to take a quick break and collect my thoughts and get into the main topic today. The main topic being a fairly deep dive into what's going on with glyphosate/Roundup, Monsanto's ridiculousness, and the regulatory agency's ridiculousness, and what happens when you have big government maybe trying to cooperate too much with companies, right? Do they really get independent science? Are they really telling the truth? Are they, you know, trying to do all right by the company? It's okay. You've been doing this for a while. It's okay. So you can about realize where I'm going to go with this. But the point is that we're going to have some very pointed facts and evidence for you. So it's going to be a fairly deep dive, and I think you're going to enjoy it. So that's going to be coming up. Glyphosate, Roundup, the scales of truth with Tyson Harley on that. See you in just a bit. Breaking news. As I was saying earlier, ladies and germs, with the big news break-in, I am splitting this up into a different episode. Made good progress on the one on glyphosate/Roundup, but not quite there yet, and would rather get this version out while it's still at least a little bit timely, since I talked about things that happened in the last week. So, thanks for listening, be safe, and look forward to that next deep dive episode. This has been The Scales of Truth with Tyson Harley, available on SoundCloud.